Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Jenna Pell, who I just texted just to make sure that I didn't butcher her name, and I actually had it right. I was kind of paranoid because I don't want to goof up someone's name. That's the first way to ensure a crap production. And obviously, at Adobe, we do not settle for anything less than sick as shit. So, this is going to be sick as shit. We've got the Jewish Hour with Jenna Pell. This show is probably going to be on around the same time as Hanukkah. So for those of you listening, I hope you have 8 crazy nights. This show is special to me because we've had some people in the PR field before. We've had Mike Cubillos. We've had Ray Rolden. But I actually have directly worked with Jen on a band that I manage called Film Speed. And I don't know, I lost track of all the holy shit and thank you emails I've written her and her amazing staff there, because it's just been great. So shout outs to Stephanie and Lucy for kicking it and killing it. And I guess I need a little bit more coffee because we're not currently kicking it, we're killing it. And Jen actually is extremely qualified, like beyond overqualified, I would even argue. My assistant sent me some sick notes about how she's an adjunct professor, which I knew, but I really want to learn more about that because a lot of people listen to the show hoping to learn, and you're literally going to be learning from a professor. The music industry as we know it is not, you know, centerpieced in the great state of Florida, but she's been there for quite some time and carved her own niche down there. Jen also speaks at lots of different conferences, and I think she could even talk about certain Adobe experiences as well, just in general. Catalyst is killing it. They work with so many different bands. And I'm actually wearing a shirt of a Mayday Parade, the parade that I heard a rumor that Catalyst likes. And also Boys Like Girls and just a lot of bands in that pop rock, pop punk format. If they're on Warped Tour, you might even know about them. So the next few weeks are going to be great because I'm actually going to be in Sedona and Vegas. I'm leaving this weekend. By the time this airs, that will be long gone. But I'm going to disconnect with the wife and just have plans to not do anything, which if you work in entertainment, a lot of the time you're a hyphen and you're kind of going all over the place, and I just need to separate myself from entertainment. So I'm sure Jen approves of my little siesta. And thank you guys so much for tuning in every single week. Tuesday night, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time for Florida, and rerun every single Sunday morning at 5 a.m. our time Pacific, 8 a.m., so more normal waking up hour. Waldman's Words, Jenna Pell, Catalyst, Rock and Roll, stick around. Hello. The last word that was off air was perfect, so we're going to have a bar set quite high for the Jenna Pell, not Apple, not Aplu, Appel show. I don't know if anyone's ever butchered your name that awfully, but thank you very much for doing this show, Jen. Hello.
Hello, thank you. I actually, in high school, was called Japples because nobody could get my last name, so that was like my nickname through high school.
I mean, it's kind of perfect for a Jewish girl, Japple. It works. It works really well. My mom called me Japple, and there's no J or anything in my family. So mazel tov.
Yeah, I pretty much respond to anything.
Okay, well,
call
I'm not
Jay, Jenny, Jen, Jennifer. Actually, don't call me Jennifer. I don't. That's like, even though that's my full name, that's like what my mom calls me, and you know, only when she gets mad.
Yeah, the positive association of a full name like that. Like when someone elongates my name to Scottwick, I know that I'm in trouble. So I get it. So, are you completely born, raised, everything in Florida? Have you lived there your whole life?
I have. I grew up in the suburb of Fort Lauderdale in this town called Weston. It was kind of like, you know, like Celebration, Florida, where it's like the white picket fence, like trees lining the street. Like that's kind of where I lived. They had no events in the town. There was no concerts. You couldn't play music. Like it was really this like strict little town,
and like Footloose style, like you're not legally allowed to dance.
I don't know if it was like illegal, but they definitely like restricted what you were allowed to do. But I loved it. I mean, it's only 20 minutes from Fort Lauderdale, so it's not like, you know, we weren't able to go to a concert or anything like that, but it was like this perfect little community, and you know all of your neighbors, and you ride your bike to school, and it's just, it was a very cute area to grow up in. So I grew up in South Florida, and then I actually went to college in Indiana. So it was like the only time that I ever left Florida.
I bet that weather was awesome for you. That's what happened when I went to school in Michigan from, I mean, New York's pretty cold, but Michigan brought it to another level. What school in Indiana did you go to?
Indiana University in Bloomington.
Ah, the Big Red Liquor Store. That's all I know about there.
The Big Red. I actually lived across the street from one.
Oh, wow. I bet you saw some shit. We'll get into that in a bit. But so it's crazy because I go to Fort Lauderdale quite often because a lot of my family, they were snowbirds. And you don't realize that there's quite a vibrant nightlife there. I mean, now there's the Hard Rock. But like before then, there was lots of loud music, a lot of Latin music, and just incredible food in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. I mean, Fort Lauderdale's changed so much. I actually was just reading an article the other day that they're like building out all these new shopping centers, and they just put in this new condo across the street from us. Like, there's so many people that are migrating here. So it's not even about snowbirds anymore. Like, snowbirds, I think, are moving up to like Delray and West Palm. But like Fort Lauderdale, I mean, they're going through this like resurgence, because when I was in college and I came home, the nightlife here was awesome. There's this strip called Himmershey. So if anybody's ever, you know, played at Revolution Live, there's like that strip with all these different bars, which has been really great. But adjacent to it was all these like nightclubs, but they just knocked the whole thing down and they're building this huge condo. So I don't know what's going to happen with Fort Lauderdale. It's kind of...
Is it gentrification, or is it kind of just getting a younger crowd?
I think it's a younger crowd. I mean, when I grew up living in Weston, it was, you know, really young families. I mean, that was, we moved out there 29 years ago. So, I mean, it was all these families that, like, we were the first ones pretty much out there. So we were like on the edge of the Everglades. Actually, we were the Everglades that got built into all these little communities. All these people are now moving east, which, you know, again, is only 20 minutes. But then you have, you know, all their kids like my age that are in their 30s that, you know, want to live and be close to family. And so it's kind of this, it's an interesting resurgence of young, which never used to really be out here. But then you have your super, super wealthy in the intercoastal. And now you've kind of got these middle ground places to live. So I don't know. I'm excited. I love it down here. It's just so, I'm actually sitting, I work from home and I'm looking out and like, I literally can see the beach from my patio. So
can't really beat that.
No, it's amazing.
Well, a lot of great bands like Newfound Glory, Mayday Parade, Under Oath, you know, all these incredible bands come from Florida, and I believe, Copeland as well. Like a lot of really, there's quite, and Dashboard. I just keep thinking all these bands. And,
Yellow Card.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jacksonville. It's. I don't always think of them when I think Florida, because I think they emigrated to like the Santa Barbara area, but that's where they got their start. So.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, even if you go back into like the Orlando days, like for boy bands, and I mean, Florida's always had a great like music scene. South Florida in particular is kind of going through this weird, I don't know. We keep talking about it amongst like my friends, and I'd love for South Florida to come back with really good live music. Like the shows are still great down here. You still have a great scene, but in terms of like a local scene, like if you were to go to Ohio or Indiana, Chicago, like you've got this great like Midwest bands helping bands.
Mm-hmm.
South Florida, you don't really see that often. I mean, there are bands down here, but I feel like
the community. You know,
yeah, we need more artists down here. So
you think LA has that? LA hasn't had that since like hair metal. It's pretty wild. Like I say this on a bunch of shows, but I'm from Long Island, and as soon as I left Long Island, that's when like the band's like, okay, let's do this. And that's when like Glassjaw, Movie Life, Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, like all these bands. And as soon as I left Michigan, then they're like, all right, White Stripes, let's do this. So all Florida needs is for me to move there and leave.
Yes.
And then pretty soon it'll be the new Seattle.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
I'll make it happen.
We need it. We really do. I mean, I go out to some of these shows and I'm like, where's like the local scene? I mean, it's like the same people over and over, which I love. I get to see friends, but I'd love to, you know, build a scene down here. So,
well, Catalyst can definitely assist in that. I mean, just a shout out / high five. Catalyst, the entire community, and I actually gave Lucy and Stephanie little shout outs too as well. But you guys worked with a band I manage called Film Speed, and you secured a lot of great articles and placements. So on behalf of them, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I have to give all credit to Steph and Lucy on that one. They did such a great job, but that's what makes a good team. You know, I sort of oversee everything, and Steph is just, I've been so fortunate to work with Steph for, I think she's been with us now for almost 4 years.
Oh, wow. It's like college.
Yeah. And I actually met her through an old client of mine who I went to their show and he was like, oh, meet my friend Steph. She's, you know, thinking of going back to school and wanting to do PR and marketing. And we ended up having this amazing conversation and we just became really good friends. And then she ended up going to get her master's in PR and in music. And she was like, can I intern for you? And I was like, absolutely. She got her credit. And I just, there's just something so special about her that we can flip on the friend switch and be really good friends and talk about life and family and everything in between. And then we can, you know, work really hard together. And it's nice to have that separation. So it's been really, she's totally changed Catalyst and everything for the better, just for working so incredibly hard and actually knowing what she's doing and like really excelling at it. So I've been very fortunate.
And she's now nowhere near you. She's a complete opposite end of the country, correct?
I know. So she, about 2 years ago, approached me and said, you know, listen, I grew up in South Florida. It's not really for me anymore. I mean, I won't leave because I love it down here. But she's like, would you consider it and be okay if I moved to Seattle? And I mean, number one, I don't care what anybody does. Somebody could say, hey, I'm moving to Australia. Do you support it? And I'd be like, whatever. That's, you know.
As long as you get your work done and you're reachable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it works out. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's the hours are fine. I mean, really, East Coast and West Coast is 3-hour difference. It's not that big of a deal. And we make it work. And, you know, we have a really good time. And unfortunately, I haven't even made it out to Seattle to go see her because every single time we end up meeting, it's somewhere in the middle of the country for a festival or a conference, or she comes home for the holidays. So that's my next 2018 plan to go out and see her.
Have you ever been to Seattle?
I haven't.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, it's the best coffee in America. And second of all, just really good food, really good music scene, vibrant life. You guys are going to have a good time.
Yeah, I know. I never make it out to the West Coast. I mean, the farthest I go, I do Park City every summer in Utah. So that's like the farthest out west that I go. Did an LA trip last year, but it's just very rare for me to go out. I don't know. I'm kind of a homebody. So I like traveling, but I also like being home too. So.
Well, you need that balance. Otherwise, you'll go crazy and you won't be doing Stephanie, Lucy, or any of the bands you work with any favors if you're going nuts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I live at home. I mean, my family's right down the street and my boyfriend and I live together. So it's just, it's really, I need to have the ability to cut off a work time and enjoy my nighttime and, you know, hang out with family and friends. And that's just how I function. That's how I stay sane, especially through this music business and industry. Like, you have to find that balance. It's so important.
The way that I stayed sane was leaving my family, or I quote unquote stayed. That's a relative term. But how I reached my brink of sanity was getting the hell away. But, you know, yeah. I digress. Certain Jewish families work differently than others. So you grew up in South Florida. Was that music scene like the newfound glory scene? Because you're not that much younger than I am. Were you listening to all that stuff? Were you listening to local stuff? Or how did you get the music bug?
Yeah, I mean, there used to be a really great venue called The Factory that was down here. And that was kind of like the scene that I grew up in. Like, all my friends in middle school and high school, we all listened to Newfound Glory and we loved Yellow Card and, you know, pretty much any band that came out of South Florida. I mean, we were at every show, every concert, and it was just for fun. I mean, I knew that I was aware that there was a music business, But I never, you know, and middle school and high school said, one day I'm going to wake up and be a music publicist. I just loved going to concerts. I mean, from when I was really little, my parents always took my brother and I to concerts. And I mean, we've pretty much have seen anybody that's come through South Florida, big or small, whether it's friends or family, that was sort of our thing. But really in South Florida, you know, obviously I loved like the pop punk era and I loved any bands that came through here, but it was really about this radio station called Y100, which is a top 40, you know, pop station. And they used to put on these incredible events and concerts and mini festivals. And that was sort of like my bread and butter when I grew up, like when I was younger with the boy bands and Britney Spears and Jessica Simpson and all these like great pop artists. So that's
the TRL era.
Yeah, the TRL era. That's like the era that I grew up in. And then I had this, you know, great pop punk fix. And it sort of was, I didn't realize that all of my like happy emotions always tied into music. So when I went to college, I never considered music being a career path. I just, you know, it was something I just enjoyed and I just loved. And even in college, I would go and travel like 6 to 10 hours with some friends just to go to shows. And that was sort of, you know, my like happy escape from life. And when the music business sort of got tied into what I was doing, I was like, this is exactly where I need to be. Cause it just brings me back to so many great memories and shows and festivals. And, you know, it's nice. It's a good thing to kind of have and know that growing up, that was something, you know, I escaped and enjoyed.
Well, two notes on that. First of all, when I see these kids today go on Facebook, be like, you guys aren't playing a venue 3 blocks from my place. It's like, whatever happened to the road trip? Mm-hmm. I would drive with friends or get rides to go to shows, and there was an event, and it was something I look forward to.
Yeah,
that's thing number one. And thing number two is, like, on your socials, it's awesome how family oriented you are, but it looks like you go to a lot of shows, like you said, with your family, and even sometimes in a completely different demo, like country. And that's fantastic. Yes. That you have that.
Yeah. So when I went to Indiana, I have to shout out my college roommate, Erin. She was like, what do you mean you don't listen to country? I mean, in South Florida, there's obviously a country music scene, but it wasn't something I grew up in. None of my family members even gave that genre a try because it was all like Pitbull and top 40 Latin music down here. So when I was in Indiana, it was, you listened to country and you enjoyed it. And that was really so we're talking like 2004, 2005. That was like the country meets pop era. And now it's like a completely different world today. But I remember when I first came home from college, I don't remember what year, but I remember telling my mom, listen to this band called Zac Brown. He is such a great country artist that I think you're going to enjoy. And immediately my mom started liking it. Then my brother was like, my brother went to Penn State, so he kind of got that as well. And he was like, oh, I like country too. And now it's sort of become this thing where even my dad, who's not crazy into country, the four of us will go to all these shows together. And it's, I don't know, it's so special between like spending a Saturday evening tailgating before a show.
With your parents.
Show. Yeah, with my parents. And I mean, like my mom and I, we just saw Florida Georgia Line together. I think it was last week. We go to the CMA Fest, which happens on my birthday every year in Nashville. Like we've gone all out. Even this year, we did like a little Florida road trip to see Eric Church, which my mom loves. So it's nice. Country music is, it's my favorite genre. I mean, I still love pop punk. I still love, you know, all the music that I work and listen to. But there's just something about country that if I'm at a show, especially a country show, I don't have to think, okay, this band is related to this management company. I should hit up this label. I should, you know, talk to this.
You could turn your brain off and just enjoy the music. Yeah. As opposed to being in business mode because you're separate from it.
Exactly. And I mean, I still can't turn it off completely, but just
that's our curse.
Being in a crowd where I'm like, I don't know anybody. And if I do, it's my mom and dad, and I can act crazy and silly and scream at the top of my lungs and be a fan. Like, I feel like everybody that is in the music industry needs that sort of escape. We need to have some place where we all love music, but we need to have a place where we can just sit back and be a fan. You know, it's not standing on stage and looking cool. It's like, let's get into like the pit at a huge country music fest and just enjoy it and not care in the world and do whatever we feel is going to make us happy in music.
You don't need a certain wristband. You could just go wait online with the rest of the common folk.
Yeah. And you know, what's so funny is my mom, she always says, oh, so who do you know in country that can get us backstage? And can we get an autograph? And can we do this? I'm like, no, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to even think about that. And it's actually kind of nice. I have a country artist that I'm working with right now. And it's so interesting to be pitching these country music stations and different publications that like I read for fun.
It's a different planet. It's completely. Yeah. I just started working with a rapper, and I got to tell you, it's very different than film speed.
Yeah, but it's nice though. It's fun because if you enjoy it and you know already are in tune with that genre, it makes it a little bit more enjoyable. It takes a little bit more with research, but it's actually you know, it takes away from the you feel like you're doing a job.
Well, that's a good feeling. That's what I wake up thinking every day is like, this is what I choose to do for a living. And I know a lot of people are pretty miserable. And while I would be a little bit less stressed about my finances, if I went a more traditional route, I would not have a midlife crisis in a few years. So I'm stoked on that.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel when it comes to working in music. I mean, I started off my career not in music. So I worked for, you know, automotive groups and hotels and restaurants and, you know, I worked for major PR companies and, you know, I saw the stresses that they were dealing with and how they were dealing with clients. And the second that one music campaign got introduced to me, it was like, you know, I can go and work for a hotel. I can work for any sort of organization and still do the exact same thing. But there's just something so special about taking a musician and their dream and everything that they're working for and really helping them get to whatever level is going to make them, you know, successful in their own world. So it's a little bit different. You know, I definitely love that we still use the foundation of PR. That's what I love. And so it's nice that it can just be kind of readapted to a different setting, which is nice.
Well, believe it or not, speaking of another setting, we're going to get to segment two in a minute, but it's been going flowing like a fine wine right now. But I guess, what was one of the reasons that you went, that you chose to go to school in Indiana? Was it to get the heck away from Florida and just start your own thing? Or what were you, what attracted you to that Big Ten school? Because that's completely different planet. And then we'll take a short break.
Yeah. So I actually, when I was in high school, I did the arts track. So I was doing graphic design, web design, and interior design. So my mom is actually an interior decorator. And all I wanted was to basically be her. I mean, I still do today. She's amazing. But so I actually went to Indiana to get into their design program. And I ended up starting Indiana. They have like a top 10 program for anything that's, you know, arts related, whether it's like 3D art or clay or anything like that. And I started the program and I hated it. I hated my teacher so much. Like it was so much more on the math side of, you know, making sure your calculations are right and how you're drafting and, you know, putting your buildings together and your design elements. And it was totally different from me shadowing my mom at work. Like it was not what I thought it was going
to
be.
But it's good that you knew that early on, as opposed to getting really invested in something that you weren't gung-ho about.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I took it my first semester and my design teacher was like, you are great, but you're not going to get into the program because you had to get a certain grade to get in. And it was just, even my mom was like helping me with my projects and we still failed. Like it was a total disaster. So I ended up meeting with a career counselor at school and she was like, well, like you're excelling at all of your English classes and your public speaking and your communications classes. Like maybe that's a route you need to go. And if it wasn't for, I had one professor who said, you should try journalism, see if that's something you want. And my second semester of freshman year, I took a PR class and that was sort of the end of it. So I'm very fortunate that I at least learned it early on. I
mean, most people don't even learn it. You're extremely fortunate in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I feel grateful that I had the support from professors. I mean, if I didn't have that, I don't even know what I would be doing. I mean, I would be so completely lost, but they just sort of took me under their wings and said, you know what, we're going to give you the right path, and ended up minoring in art, and I did graphic design. So I still got that, that taste of art classes, and those were all of my electives, which,
But not your
you know,
central
is what I
focus, though,
expected.
like originally planned, so it's slightly
Yeah.
different.
But it's nice because I still use it, and I can still have the same conversations with people about anything in the art world without having to go, too far away from it.
Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll resume with segment two. The adjective that I would use to describe this segment normally, when Emily, my assistant, is here, she's actually in school in Philly now, we come up with an adjective, but I'm going to use the word calm because this has been one of the more calm interviews and I like it. It's flowing, it's not frenetic. So thanks for keeping it level-headed, Jen, and we'll take a short break. Hello, we are back with the calm. Jen Appel, thank you for being my Zen moment for the day.
I like being called calm. I feel like I'm a very calm person, very patient.
You've got the voice of a therapist. Like, so how does that make you feel?
Oh my God, I love it.
It's a catalyst. If we don't help your band, we might help your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I talk to people, I'm always the person that helps my friends through like really bad situations, and I'm also a teacher, so I feel like I
Yep.
gotta speak to people that they can understand and not get level-headed or not level-headed with me. So,
Mama always had a way of explaining things so that I'd understand them.
yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, it's this maternal instinct, so I'm not going to be the Jewish grandmother who asks you about babies yet. So just do that when you want to, if you want to. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I
So,
love it.
college. When you were towards the tail end of your college, did you kind of have an A to B to C plan, or you're still just kind of figuring it out?
I did. So I graduated college in 2009. So the economy was not in the best area at
Thanks,
all.
Obama.
Yeah, it was not good when I graduated, but I knew so kind of to put a preference on it. So I grew up with a learning disability. I had a really difficult time in school. I didn't know if I would ever get into college. Like I just everything that you can imagine, whether it was math or reading or comprehension, I struggled so much through it. I kind of think that it's more because I overanalyze things. So when I was in college, I didn't think, or I guess in high school, I didn't think that I could get into college, even though I did get good grades, but it just was a mental thing.
It's an
So when
irrational
I was,
fear.
yeah, so when I was in college, I said, well, why should I stop now? Like, I love school. And obviously, that's why I teach today. Like, I love the education side of things and just being in school and taking tests. Like, I loved it. Even if I wasn't great at it, I still enjoyed it. So my senior year, I decided to take the GRE, and I went and I got my master's, which was something that I elected to do. Nobody told
Right,
me that I had
immediately
to
after.
immediately after. So I started the fall after I graduated. I worked all summer. I worked at a PR firm and immediately started in the same year, 2009. And I went to this small private Catholic university
Perfect.
called Berea University. And it was the hardest 2 years of my life. It was pretty much like I thought Indiana was pretty difficult and to some respect. And then I got to Berea and it was like, we're basically just gonna like make you miserable for 2 years, because they went more of the like corporate route. So it was corporate communication, and basically it was you have to write a thesis pretty much every semester and do all this research, and you have to understand theory and understand
MLA or
why you're
APA?
doing it. Oh, it's always APA.
Ah, the citing. Oh my God, I
Yes.
just got like a nightmare flashback just now.
Well, I teach research at Florida Atlantic, so I teach all APA and in citations and bibliographies and all that fun stuff. So
Work
it's still ingrained
cited.
in my head.
I remember
Work
that.
cited.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I still teach it today, which is kind of ironic, but yeah, so I ended up getting my master's, and It was really difficult. There were a lot of things that I never use, but like they had us doing formulas if you were to do like focus groups and how you can quantitatively like come to terms of how you can evaluate certain things. And it was just a lot of like mind-boggling things that I just didn't ever need. But the one thing it did make me kind of reevaluate was my writing and how I can write and how efficient I have to write and my work ethic and organizational skills and basically just how to be a better professional
Better
in every
communicator.
way. Yeah, better communicator. So I loved it. I mean, there was a lot of things that made me miserable, but there were a lot of great things. And one of the best things that came from it was we were required to do an internship. So my first semester, I started working for this amazing publicist. Her name is Valerie Zucker down here. And I ended up working with her for almost 3 years. So I did everything from, hotel launches to automotive groups to working with nonprofits. We even launched Layla Ali, Muhammad Ali's daughter's new like beauty line. We opened up a Harley-Davidson dealership. Like we did so much stuff over the 3 years, and I was so fortunate because she was like, "You're gonna sit in my office. You're gonna do everything I do. You're gonna be on every phone call. You're gonna learn everything,
It's the only way to
and
learn it.
you're gonna be okay." Yeah, and I mean, they put me on the ringer. I mean, it was like I was basically a full-time publicist. So what I would do is I'd work a complete 9 to 5, and then I'd travel from all the way from Boca down to Miami, which was a good hour drive, and then I would do my 3-hour night classes, and that was 5 days a week for 2 years, and then I worked after that. So
That's intense.
it was, but I loved it. Like I feel like if I ever have a moment where I'm not doing something, I go crazy. Like I'm this the type that has to constantly have something to do. And
You're the opposite of my wife. She likes decompression, and I actually made note of this not in regards to her, but in the intro, how when this airs, it's going to be December, but actually on Saturday, I'm going on a disconnection trip to Sedona and Vegas, and we only have two things planned, and the majority is nothing, and I'm really hoping
So
to turn my brain
nice.
off.
Well, see, that's when I go to Park City for the summer. So my parents, they rent a house there for a month, and usually I'll go out for like up to 3 weeks of it. And I mean, I still work, but I choose to wake up at like 5 a.m. and I work until about noon, which is in reality, it's like 3 p.m. at home. And then I'm done for the day. And then we don't have plans. We just do whatever we want. We can
You
go
take
hike. We
naps.
can do what we take naps. We watch movies. So that's like my like getaway. And then I do it again, obviously, during the holidays. So I do have those moments where I just completely shut down. But I do find little pockets of like, exercise or, a little shopping trip or whenever I go see my family, I completely disconnect, whether it's just 30 minutes or 2 hours. But I do find little pockets of time, but I love being busy. It just makes me feel like I'm doing something,
Well,
and
busy carrying your many degrees. Like, what are your degrees in? What about undergrad and then your master's? What are they in specifically?
so I have a bachelor's of I guess it's arts, I guess, a
Yeah, I think
BA,
so. BA, yeah.
of it's like cultural communications, and then a minor in graphic arts, and then I have a certificate in journalism. So I ended up not taking the full like PR route because I would have had to be in school for another extra 2 years
Or you'd
to
still
let me
be
take
there.
classes. And where probably I would choose to still be there. I live in the journalism school. And then I have a master's of arts as well. And that's a corporate communications and cultural communications master's with a focus in rhetoric, which was just awful. But so those are my degrees, and kind of been toying with the idea of going to get a PhD, which not 100% sure about, but my family were a little competitive when it comes to schooling, and right now my brother has the highest degree in our family, and I'd like to beat him. So
I know what it,
I
my
think
mom
my next
has the
thing.
master's, and my sister and I, we're just lowly bachelors, trying to circle this life. So I guess, tell me about what it was like once you officially exited the academia world from the student perspective and then started eventually working on your own. I mean, you have your own company.
Yeah, so I actually had two jobs before I started Catalyst. I worked for this great company. So this was right when like Facebook and Twitter were really starting to become appropriate for business to get on. I think this is when Pages started. So I started working for this great Miami marketing company. And unfortunately, I had all these ideas for social media. I worked there for about 8 months, maybe a year. And they were like, we don't really see the value in this. So I ended up leaving that job because it just, I mean, again, social media was like, should you, shouldn't you? And obviously now it's a must, but
yeah.
So I ended up going after that to, I got connected to an startup entertainment company. I worked there for about 10 months and I led the music PR department. So I came in, started working under two people that, had worked at Pitbull's label, and I thought this was my like big break into the music business, but it came with a lot of like pushback. So they actually, they had about 10 artists that they started with, but there was like no pay for the first like 6 months. But I had to like build out their contracts and build out their press lists and basically everything for their whole company. I was in charge of figuring it out as I went. So I built up this whole thing and I enjoyed it because it was kind of like working for my own self, but it was also, you know, underneath two people that now I know that they really didn't have any accolades to like go through the process. But so I worked there for a little bit of time. It ended up being this super sketchy, no pay.
Cutco knives?
Like, I mean, like just the artists that they were working with were like in jail and like
drug
cartel people. Like
they, now this gets interesting. I want to hear it. What did... wow.
It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And for somebody who had, you know, great like education and I really wanted to get into PR, my internships were so great. It was like completely, you know, I went from this job that I thought was going to be this like, I thought I was going to be there for like 30 years. I was so stoked on it. Then they ended up not even liking social media. So then working for people that, I mean, literally were like, we'll just take your money, go to jail. We'll take your money and still rep you. It was.
Well, that sounds beautiful.
2 years. It was so weird. I don't even know how to describe it.
That's
so,
a good way to describe it.
Yeah. So I ended up, after I found out that a lot of the artists were in like the Mexican cartel, I was like,
sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
I am like completely done with this. So I didn't even, so I had no contract with them. So I went home when I was still living at home at the time. And I was both my parents are entrepreneurs and said, I can't do this. Either the music industry is completely not what I thought it was. And I need to find like an actual job or I need to do something on my own and then I'll like figure it out from there. So my parents being the most supportive people in the world were like, why don't you quit and then start something? Cause what happened was, is I was bringing in these artists because, you know, I started doing press for some like of these pop punk bands and alternative acts, even though they were mostly into hip hop. So I felt like I had an edge to kind of bring in something new to the company, which was only like a year old. So I started building out all of these lists and I was doing so much on my end to like really try to excel because I wanted to look great in their eyes. But without knowing it for almost a year, I was building Catalyst. So I ended up, on the spot quitting, packed up my shit, left and just said, I'm never coming back here.
And screw you guys. I'm going home.
I mean, I wasn't getting paid, so it didn't really matter. I had no contract. So I ended up taking all of my stuff, left them with nothing, took like all my Excel sheets and whatever. I want to say it was within like a day or maybe even a week. I formed my LLC and that was the start of Catalyst. And it was one of those things where, you know, my previous clients, you know, were getting ready to either sign a contract or they had a contract. Got out of their contract and then re-signed with Catalyst. And I was so fortunate because when I first started, I had so many great supporters and people that I'm still friends with today. And, you know, I still communicate with that, you know, from wanting to either like work for me or work with me to being like our first clients. And so that's really the start of Catalyst. It was September. And I remember by the end of the year, like we started with, I don't know, maybe four or five clients. And by the end of December, we had like 16.
Wow.
So it's just like a really cool, I don't know. It's like once I started talking to people, and I mean, our contracts obviously have changed over the years. And, you know, I've learned so much about being a business owner that I didn't go to school for business. So I didn't know that was, you know, there are a lot of things I didn't know going into it. But it was actually, it was like very much like a trust system. So when I brought an artist in, like we would work together, but I didn't have like the background of working in music. I didn't, you know a lot of things going into it, but we were very fortunate. And I would say, I think it was in February or March, we started working with the Venetia Fair, which was
like I love them
campaign.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
They're
frenetic.
And I mean, I'm still friends with most of them. So, I mean, we started working with these great artists that, you know, through somebody that worked for me that, you know, had great connections to the industry, people trusted us and they wanted to be a part of what we were doing. And, you know, our prices were reasonable and we gave them what they wanted.
Well, you're a boutique and you didn't, you weren't working with Britney Spears. And for the record, Venetia Fair's cover of Rock Lobster is outstanding. I just want you to know that. I really, really thought that they were kind of like, if a Panic at the Disco merged with like a lot like Birds, like they were crazy.
Yes.
And
yeah, they're so fun to see live and just like the nicest people. And it was just people like that that said, you know what, like we support you. We want to be a part of what you're doing. And, you know, we're going to tell people about Catalyst. And that's really how it evolved. I mean, everything that we've done for the past 6 years has been word of mouth or going to a conference and meeting somebody or a band touring with another band and that second band needing PR. Like it's really been a very organic growth. Like we haven't gone after or, you know, pitch labels or management companies and said, hey, you need to work with us when your contract's up with another PR firm. No, like it's all about, you know, there were months where I thought, we're not going to have anything, you know, we don't have any contracts. And then somehow in the end, we end up getting to our full capacity. So it's just been really rewarding. And honestly, I believe that if you want to start a PR firm or if you want to be a publicist, you need to know and understand the fundamentals behind public relations. Because it's not just about, oh, I'm going to get this artist and get them an interview or an exclusive. Like, that's the easy part, but it's like how you think about how you're going to get that or why you're getting it and kind of the meaning and the reasoning behind it. That's the fundamentals of PR. So I feel like this industry is changing so much with all these newer publicists trying to get in. Not that I'm like an old timer by any means, but, you know, sometimes I look at the...
To some you are. It's all relative.
It is. I mean, when you think of like the trajectory of me doing PR, I mean, I've been doing it for almost 10 years. I think next year will be my 10-year mark. But
wow.
Yeah, I really hope that people look at the music industry and the PR side and see that there's like you really need to have an education behind it. Anybody can go in and get interviews. It's super easy. Everything is accessible. The internet's made it that easy. But it's how you do it and why you do it that's going to completely, completely change, hopefully, the future of PR and music because it needs to be kind of readjusted a little bit.
Well, with the future of music and PR, I mean, you're actually – this is a really sick, unintentional transition. Let's wrap this up with you shape young minds. Are you a professor, a teacher? Like, what's it called? And explain that, and then we'll wrap this up.
Yes, I'm a professor at Florida Atlantic University, and then this year I started teaching at Johnson & Wales. Actually, I got the position at FAU through Steph. She invited me to come guest lecture to her class, and that was 4 years ago, and the department head was like, by the way, we've got an opening. I mean, granted, I never knew that I could be a professor. I mean, I thought you had to like have a PhD or something to be even qualified for it. I just needed a master's and they said that I was a perfect fit for it. And this is, been doing it now for 3.5 years, finishing this semester up in a couple weeks. And
almost a college career as a
almost a college career, yeah.
It's pretty wild, right? So they grow up so fast, Jen.
I know. Well, I've seen like some of my students graduate and now they're working for like major companies. I'm like, okay, well, like remember me when I need something from you. So it's good, but I love it. I think it's like the greatest escape. You know, sometimes working in music can get really inundating and very stressful, but there's something so unique about teaching. And I mean, even the most minuscule thing of like showing somebody how to schedule something on social media, it's like they get excited about it. They want to know how to
and they're excited in general. They're excited in general and they're eager to learn as opposed to some entitled kid who's just hoping for.
I've had like my fair share of like not so great students, but it definitely, you know, my students that want to get into music or even get a career into PR, I mean, it's amazing. So I teach the history of media at Johnson & Wales, and then I teach music PR at FAU, and now I'm teaching 2 different research classes, and then I'm the student faculty advisor for the student-run record label at FAU called Hoot Wisdom.
You're a busy kid. You're a busy kid.
Yeah. It's nice. The record label is very cool. They have their own like executive team, and I mean, we were doing some licensing stuff and we were managing artists, and now we're putting together like different promo photos and music videos. And I mean, it's like we're covering everything that's not even just PR related, but it's nice because I wish when I was in college, I knew that I wanted to get into music and could firsthand like maybe go to a school like Belmont and understand how the industry works. Like, I feel very fortunate that I was able to learn it as I went, but the fact that these students can learn it and make mistakes before getting into the industry, like, I think
it's the best way to learn when you screw up.
Yeah, and it's good. I mean, and there's really no like major repercussions, you know, in the record label class. It's like, you mess up, well, I'll help you, like, we'll fix it together. And, you know, then you learn next time. Like, there's no, like, the students that are releasing music, they're on the opposite side of it. So it's a 2-part class. So they go through the tech side, the composition, and the actual, like, production of their music. So they see the full scope of, I mean, how to write a song, how to put music behind it, record it, engineer it.
Every facet of it.
Yeah, straight into the marketing. So it's really interesting, and there's so much growth in the educational side of the music industry, and it's obviously constantly changing. So, you know, for me, I'm one of the youngest professors in the department. So I'm coming in with firsthand knowledge of, you know, what I'm seeing and what I think should be, you know, the next direction. And it's interesting. Like, the guy that runs the department has, you know, several awards, and he's worked with some of the biggest people from like the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and probably even today. And it's just, I mean, he's like a legend in the industry. So it's interesting to see how before the internet and then now how the internet,
the world
has changed it. Yeah, it's interesting. So, but I love it. And it's something that, you know, I know that my time with Catalyst is amazing and my time with teaching, and just split my time down the middle and take on what I can. And
but it gives you authority to do a good job at Catalyst if you're a teacher. For me, at least, like, that was definitely something that was a key bullet point for us, because to use limited resources to have a campaign. So anyway, Compliment City is officially over. So thank you so very much for being on. And if you don't mind listing, I guess, the socials for Catalyst, how people can get a hold of you or what have you.
Yeah, thecatalystpublicitygroup.com has everything from our socials to Facebook, Twitter. We even have a Spotify account with a really cool playlist that Steph puts together. And the information's on the website for my email as well.
And you obviously are a direct participant in the fact that you guys actually have socials like Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff. It worked.
Yes.
It is necessary. So
absolutely. Yeah, that's why I have a whole team. I can't do everything.
Well, again, your team is awesome. Lucy, you rule. Stephanie, rule. Jen, you rule. And just have a great rest of your day. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Have a good one.